Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nicodemus, he was trying to figure it all out. He was trying to make sense of things that didn't make sense. He was seeing, feeling, and experiencing things that were in conflict with his education and everything that he knew and believed to be true. We experience conflicts ourselves. Conflicts between our heads and our hearts, between what is practical, what makes sense, and what is right, regardless of how practical it may be. I'm guessing that you have even experienced some of this inner conflict this week, maybe even today already. We try to figure out. We try to process, make meaning, make sense of these things. So how does it feel to you when things that you know to be true are in conflict with what's going on around you? How do you make sense of that? Do we dig in and say that no, what we know to be true has to be true, and what we're seeing and experiencing is not true? How do we make sense of that? But you know, in reality, we have a lot of these conflicts every day. In fact, we're bombarded by them. You may hear things in the news that don't make sense to what you believe. You may, with a friend or with a family member, experience something that is in conflict. So we go throughout our day ignoring most of those things that bombard us. There's no way that we can think and process everything that is in conflict. But then there's that one thing. That one thing that keeps coming up to your mind, that one thing that even while you're working, it drives you to distraction. That one thing that when you're washing the dishes or doing laundry or driving to the grocery store, that your mind keeps returning to that one thing. For Nicodemus, that one thing was Jesus. He couldn't get him out of his mind, and he was trying to make those pieces fit. But kudos to Nicodemus. He could have treated Jesus just like any other conflict that arose during his day. But he chose to engage. He chose to dig deeper. Now, remember, he went to Jesus under the cover of darkness. And in John's Gospel, there is a lot of interplay between what is light and what is dark. Darkness is used to represent some kind of distance with God, being in not a good relationship with God. And light is a closeness with God. It's more the presence of God. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus under the cover of darkness. And Jesus doesn't greet him and interact with him, in any kind of a shameful way. He doesn't belittle Nicodemus. He doesn't make him feel silly for coming to him at night instead of during the day. But through Jesus, he leads him from the darkness of his current position toward the light. Nicodemus knew that Jesus was not only the cause of his own internal conflict, but he was upsetting a lot of the norms. You know, we're in John chapter 3 as we read this gospel today. And in John chapter 2, that's where Jesus goes into Jerusalem, goes into the temple, and turns over the tables and drives out the money changers. You see, this had already happened, so Nicodemus knew that there was conversation among the religious leaders about what to do with this Jesus problem. So even Nicodemus coming and talking to Jesus was dangerous. What would happen if the other religious leaders found out that he had gone to speak with this Jesus? So Nicodemus assumed a lot of risk in this conversation. So Nicodemus lays out what he knows. He called Jesus Rabbi, indicating that he believed him to be a religious teacher, a leader. And he doesn't just say, "I believe you are a rabbi." He goes on to use "we." He says, "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God." And how do we know this? Because no one can do these signs that Jesus does apart from the presence of God. One of the things that's really curious to me in this interaction is that Nicodemus, you know he had an agenda. You know he had questions. He had thoughts on his mind, and he gets these introductory statements out. And then the Bible goes on to say that Jesus answered him. But Nicodemus didn't ask a question. So maybe Jesus knew what was on his heart. We don't know exactly that piece of it. But Jesus answered. He began teaching. But this teaching then added to Nicodemus' confusion and conflict. Jesus said, "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." The word "above," as you may already know, can be translated, you know, any number of ways. You know, born from above, born anew, born again. And this is where folks who talk about born again, they ask, "Are you born again?" That's where this phrase comes from. And see, we all have notions about what is possible. We all have an idea about what's not possible. But our ideas of what is possible don't always align with God's ideas of what is possible. Because we tend to be very limiting, and God is not. So when we talk about being born again, born anew, born from above, then what we're saying is that we are then looking at things from God's point of view, God's perspective. So to see the kingdom of God, which is not just our experience of heaven after we die, the kingdom of God is about God's presence. It's God's influence among us now, not just in the future. So to see the kingdom of God, to see what God sees as possible, we must be born again, born anew, born from above. And in that, our hearts are transformed, our minds are transformed. So this is not dealing with the question that you hear some Christians say is, you know, "Have you been saved?" or "Have you been born again? Are you born again?" Being born again is about what God does and continues to do in our lives. Conversion, transformation, being born again, born anew, born from above, these are processes. They happen over time rather than one miraculous event. It's about becoming. And yes, we have those significant experiences periodically through our lives. I hope that we've all had some of that, where we come to a point where, wow, you know, it feels like our eyes or our hearts or our minds are blown open. we see something differently. We have those revelations. But see, there's the process, the day-to-day process of being born again. And as people who are born again, we see things differently. We see people differently. We interact differently as Jesus infects our souls. As Jesus works with us through our lives to affect our values. So we encounter Nicodemus three times in John's Gospel. The first time is what we read today. The second is when Nicodemus is talking with the chief priests and the Pharisees, asking them to talk with Jesus, to listen to Jesus as they investigate to see whether they should bring charges. He didn't want them to judge Jesus before doing that. The third is after Jesus' crucifixion, when Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they gathered to tend to Jesus' body. And Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes that weighed about 100 pounds. That's a lot of material to use to prepare a body. And that amount is about what you would use for a royal burial. So it gives you an idea about how Nicodemus felt about Jesus. And when Nicodemus went to speak with Jesus, I wonder if Nicodemus knew that as he was listening to the voice of Jesus, what he was actually hearing was the voice of God. The psalm today speaks of the power of the voice of God. The voice of God has the power not only to shake the wilderness and to topple trees, but it has the power to change hearts, the power to change minds. As Isaiah heard the voice of God, so we hear it too. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And the faith that is at work in us, transforming our lives, transforming our minds, converting our hearts, making us born again. That faith beckons us to respond. Here am I. Send me. In the name of Jesus, amen.